Hi again, and welcome back to Arvada High School's Community Interview Podcast. I'm Jeremy Jensen, one of the assistant principals slash director of curriculum and instruction at Arvada High School. For all of you first-time listeners, this podcast is an opportunity to connect with our community members and share experiences, insights, and learnings from various people in the Arvada community. We hope this will help people get connected and learn from each other, especially when in-person interactions may be a bit more limited these days. Today's conversation is with Arvada's principal and one of my personal heroes, Gina Yakubetta. Gina has been a really amazing mentor to me personally, and I have been honored to learn countless things from her about school leadership, supporting our community, and so much more since I started a year ago. In our podcast, I ask her about some of the successes and challenges she's experienced over her 31 years in Jeffco, about how and why Arvada became a new tech partner, and about why she believes in project-based learning. Gina has just found out that Arvada is going to be featured in the national news for our work with restorative practices. So I also ask about her thoughts on that and how we can navigate this approach to discipline. This episode was recorded on July 29th of 2020. At the current time, our district is planning on moving to a hybrid model after a two-week remote start. Please note that I may call this episode the hummingbird episode, as the microphones did unfortunately pick up some rather obnoxious hummingbird buzz. So I do apologize in advance for this distraction. You are most likely not driving with hummingbirds invading your house or car, as it may feel. Not to worry, it is very clear to hear Gina and all of her inspiring messaging. I hope you enjoy this episode. Hey, Gina, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing pretty well. Thank you so much for the opportunity to talk with you about lots of stuff here today.
Sure. I'm excited.
All right. So, Gina, I just want to start off. Why did you decide to get into education?
When I was in high school, I wasn't a very good high school student. I was kind of a... I didn't like school. I struggled. I had a hard time, but I did like working with kids. I did a lot of babysitting through the summer, and so I saw the child care program through Warren Tech, and I ended up signing up for that. And through that, my teacher there, a teacher can always make a difference. I just want to say that. She said to me, "You need to become a teacher. You are incredible with kids." And I said, "Well, I can't go to college. I'm not smart enough to go to college. There's no way I can go to college." And she ended up calling my counselor at Alameda and told the counselor that I needed to go to college. He called me in his office and said, "Let's apply to Metro." And I said, "No, I can't get into a college." He actually filled out my application and sent it into Metro and called me back in and said, "You're going to go to school to be a teacher." And so because of those two people, I ended up going into education.
That's so awesome that you were inspired by a couple adults. And I think that's such a great thing for us to be able to remember as educators, that, you know, we can have such a big impact that maybe you don't realize. Did you stay in touch with those couple people throughout the years?
I did. The counselor at Alameda ended up becoming a principal in the district. So he followed me for a long time. And I followed the teacher from Warren Tech until she actually died, and I went to her services. She made a huge difference in my life because I would have never gone to college if it wouldn't have been for her.
So inspiring. That's awesome. So you stayed in Jeffco. So you were a Jeffco graduate, and then from Warren Tech, and then you moved right into Jeffco right afterwards?
Yes. When I graduated from college, they offered, back then, they offered they called them minority contracts to people of color. So Jeffco actually used to recruit. So they came to, when I graduated from Metro, they had a recruiting fair for minority educators, and they actually gave me a contract on the spot, and then I had to go find a school after that. And I ended up at Pennington Elementary in Wheat Ridge.
So what sort of roles and experiences have you had throughout your years in Jeffco? Because you've been in the district for how long?
This will be my 31st year, wow. All in Jeffco. So I started as a kindergarten teacher at Pennington, and then I moved from there to Bear Creek because I ended up getting my master's in counseling. And back then they didn't have counselors in the elementary school. So from there, I did my internship at Bear Creek High School and I fell in love with the high school students. And I said, oh my gosh, this is where I want to be. So I ended up getting that year a job at Chatfield High School as a school counselor. And so then I did counseling for 5 years at Chatfield. And then in Jeffco, obviously, the higher education you have, the more money you make. So I went back to school again, which I didn't even think I can graduate from high school. And here I am going to college, getting a master's twice. I ended up going and getting my admin license just to have more education. I really didn't want to be an administrator. I just wanted to do something to get to the 72 level so I can max out for my pay. And then Chatfield hired me as AP for a year as an interim, and then they wouldn't let me go back to counseling after that. So I did that. I was an assistant principal at Chatfield, and I did every single one of the jobs that they had that you could as an assistant principal for 9 years. And then from there, I ended up going to Schaefer. I was never planning on going back to elementary, but again, the community superintendent at the time asked me if I would go be an intern for a year because the school was struggling, and they didn't really feel like they can go through the process to hire a principal because the staff and the community were divided. So they asked if I can go be an intern for a year, and they would save my AP position back at Chatfield. And so I was going to do that. And then the community at Schaefer said, nope, you're not leaving. We want you to be the principal. They didn't even go through an interview process. They just placed me that next year. So I ended up staying there for 6 years. And then from there, I ended up at Arvada. So yeah, counselor, teacher, assistant principal, principal, and then principal. So this will be my 12th year as a, no, yeah, my 12th year as a principal.
Well, I have to say, I'm personally just very thankful that the people led you in the directions to become a principal, and I'm very thankful to have the opportunity to work alongside you and learn so much from you. It's been a great experience for me personally, just of all the things that I've seen you do so well and build relationships so well and care about the students so much. So I'm very glad that you were led in this path. How has Jeffco changed over the years?
Oh my gosh, it has changed so much, and I feel like sometimes we keep going back and forth. But Jeffco has been really good to me as far as all the things that I've done and supporting me and what I've wanted to do, and I think that's never changed, so that's a plus. But as far as, going all the way back to you're going to do everything's going to be exactly the same in the classroom to you get to decide what you want to do in the classroom, going all the way back to curriculum and standards, and we're going to do this. That's changed. But I think as far as supporting students and supporting me as an educator, that's always been there. I was part of a minority group of educators in Jeffco, and that was like a support system at the beginning, and I think that was really helpful. We really don't do that anymore, and so I think that should come back, but that's been one of the things that's been going back and forth through Jeffco. But Jeffco is Jeffco. It's been a good place to be.
Yeah. I'm really impressed that you've spent your entire career and education years in Jeffco, so that's very telling. So before you came to Arvada, what would you say were your biggest challenges and successes?
I think my biggest challenge in education for sure was the year of the Columbine tragedy. That was the hardest year of education for me. I was a counselor at the time, and we had the Columbine students come to Chatfield for that semester, and that definitely was the most difficult. But we were able to get through it, and that I think that just shows that you can get through anything if you have to. I think my biggest success at prior to Arvada would be the success at Schaefer as the principal. I think I shared at the beginning, we came in with the teachers weren't even talking to each other. They weren't talking to the parents. The parents were mad at the teachers. It was just a huge mess. And even then, even our writing scores then were like at 19% with kids. But by the time I left, the community was unbelievable in supporting us, working with teachers working with each other. And our writing scores went up to 95 percentile. So that was a huge success. Schaefer was a huge success for me.
How about Arvada? What's your best success at Arvada, would you say?
I love Arvada. I think Arvada has absolutely been my favorite place to be out of all the 31 years in education in Jeffco. I don't know what maybe this year will be the determining factor about the success. I think, again, the same thing. When I got there, the culture was not so good. And they the district said the same thing. You have to go in there and, try to build this community back up. And so I think building the community back up, I think our staff, just watching them work together is so much fun. I think that's a huge success. And actually having the staff listen to kids and build relationships with students has been probably the other success. Getting to know the kids and listening to them and having giving them a voice has been huge for everybody.
I'm the same. I feel so lucky to be at Arvada. I really love our students so much. They're the exact students that I want to work with so much, and our staff as well. I feel like I've really enjoyed getting to know people on our staff in this past year. I don't know what it was like 5 years ago or 6 years ago when you started, and but from when I came on last year, it's so fun to work with the staff that we currently have. It's great.
Yes, they are awesome.
How would you, or sorry, tell me a little bit about when we became a new tech school. How did and why did you all decide to become part of the network?
So it really started a couple, 3 years ago or 4 years ago with a group of teachers that came together to say, we looked back at our results at Arvada for several years, and they were the same, the same, the same. And we decided, I think one of my favorite saying is, if you keep on doing the same thing, you're going to keep on getting the same results. So we created a committee that worked after school and started researching other schools that were successful that had demographics like ours. And so we ended up reading this book called Deeper Learning at the time. And in there, it highlighted High Tech High, which had the same demographics of students as us and some other schools. And so we started researching, and we took a trip out to High Tech High, and we visited the school and said, oh my gosh, we can do this. And so then we took another trip out with another group of teachers. I think we ended up going 3 or 4 times with a different group of teachers and saying, is there any way we can do this at our school? Well, then we had somebody that reached out to us. I think Matt Flores was the person that said, have you heard of New Tech? It's a lot like High Tech High. High Tech started from New Tech years ago. And so we took a group of staff to the New Tech conference to get more information. And I remember Jason Ziegler there. We were there, and he used to say he's never going to drink the Kool-Aid. And we came back, and he said, I drank the Kool-Aid. We have to do this. And I think the focus was exactly what we wanted: problem-based learning, project-based learning, and a culture that matters. And that culture piece was huge for us. We knew we needed to change the culture, and so it had both of those components to it, and so we were really excited about it. And that's how the journey started.
Why is PBL, project-based learning, problem-based learning, such an important thing to make sure that we do well?
Well, when we were investigating the deeper learning components and really seeing how students were successful at some of these other schools with demographics like ours, it was that collaborative piece. And we were also listening to the community saying, when we want students to be able to come out that can collaborate and that can be creative and that could problem solve. And so all of those things were part of project and problem-based learning. And they were being successful at it. So we said, okay, then we need to do this for our students so they can be successful. They can have choice. They can have voice. We know if they have those things and they can collaborate with each other, they're going to probably be able to learn more and actually have a deeper understanding of what they're learning.
100% on board. I've worked in a PBL school for a couple years now, or two different PBL schools, and it is, in my opinion, the most fun way to teach, and I see such a bigger, better connection for our students, making community connections and things that are so much more authentic than just sort of sitting and getting like it was when I was in high school. How about equity? Besides the problem-based learning, project-based learning, is there any hopes that you might have for our building to build more equity for our students?
I think with equity, and we have been actually evolving in this area more and more every year, but it's really meeting the needs of every individual student. So whatever that looks like, really trying to find where our student comes from. I think part of having the whole advisement was we wanted a student to be able to have a good relationship with a staff member that they can go to, so we can actually listen to their story and their background. And I always call it their second backpack, meaning there's always a story behind every student or every person. And so really being able to know what that story is and be able to help that student be successful. And I think equity means we need to help every single student in any way we can. And it's always going to be different. So hopefully we can continue that and have those really high expectations for our students, but be able to help them get to wherever they want to be when they leave Arvada High School. Whatever they want to become, wherever they want to go, we need to individualize that.
That's such a great answer. You said also that we are going to be featured on the national news for some of our restorative practices work. So there's a few people that are going to be interviewed for that. Can you kind of explain how and why you think that restorative practices is the right move for us?
I think, again, because you're involving the student in part of the conversation, right? So whatever they may have done, there's always a reason why. It's always trying to understand what happened. I think with the punitive approach, a student makes a mistake and then you're automatically just punishing them, and you never get to the root cause. You never get to repair that harm. You never get to help them figure out why they did that and help them repair that and move on and build that relationship with them, or truly understand why a student may have made a mistake. And I think with restorative practices, we build that relationship, we help them repair the harm, we help them figure out why they were in that situation in the first place and how to grow from it. It's not just, okay, you're done, you know, you're out of school or whatever. And so I think with restorative practices, we have the opportunity to help students grow and learn from them. There's so many things that we don't listen to students about, and when we really can get to that root cause, then we learn from them, we build those relationships, and I think it's just been transformation for our staff and for us. We're not 100% there yet, but we are absolutely moving in the right direction.
So the restorative practices can be a little bit of a foreign thing, and some people I think can, you know, view it as going away from like traditional discipline, which is more comfortable or that what people are used to. How would you respond to people who have questions or doubts about how and why restorative practices should be implemented?
Have them talk to some of our students that have gone through restorative practices. I think even the discipline that we all grew up with, and I think that's why it's so hard to wrap our heads around. We grew up with, you do this and you have a consequence, you do this and you have a consequence. But do we really learn by having that consequence? And so I think if you see some of our students that in the past were in trouble or making mistakes a little bit more than usual, and you have a conversation with that student, and they'll talk positively about restorative practice because they actually feel like they've been heard, or they've actually feel like someone is actually listening to them about whatever mistake they had. And so I would say have a conversation with one of our students, have a conversation with some of them that have done restorative practices. I also think it's really being proactive, because we're teaching kids to build relationships with us and have a conversation with us instead of just checking it off, you're done, you're out, and not really listening to what was going on in the first place. I think we need to do that with teachers. I think we need to do that with parents. We have parents that come in there and they're extremely upset with us, and so we get defensive instead of listening why. There's a reason why everybody's upset. Maybe we don't understand what it is at the time, but if we listen to them and try to deeply understand where they're coming from, as a parent, you're going to say, yes, they're just advocating for their student. I think it's the same thing with students. So I would say truly have the conversation with the student, listen to them, and I think that would change anybody's mind. But I just hopeful and wishful thinking.
Thank you for that. It's tough. It's challenging, I think, to do it well and do it right, because it does take time to grow and develop in that. And, you know, I think a lot of people want to see things, results happen right away, and it's a process and it's a evolving process for us. But I appreciate that we believe in it at the school and we're pushing forward with it, because I think it's, like you said, the right move for allowing our students to be able to authentically and really learn from mistakes. Speaking of mistakes, I've asked this to everybody. What's been your biggest failure? I've been talking a lot or thinking a lot about just being vulnerable lately with people and reading a little bit of Brené Brown. And, you know, like, we need to celebrate our failures in life. And as much as we celebrate the successes and wins, because, you know, we're taking risks and we're able to really learn better from the biggest mistakes or failures that we have. What would you say is your biggest failure?
Gosh, there's so many.
Best failure.
We fail forward all the time, right? I think probably, I don't know, I'm thinking just about Arvada High School, and sometimes it's about really listening to maybe our staff and where they're coming from and their struggles. I would like to get better at that. I think sometimes I get really excited about things, like I said about the investigating. We are going to investigate this, and we know this was successful here, so let's try it. But really taking a step back and helping everybody get to my place. People process a lot different than I do. I'm always, let's just go for it. Let's do it. Let's, you know, and that's just kind of my personality. So I know sometimes that I need to step back and say, okay, how do we get everybody's voice heard? How do we get everybody to have input? And so I think that's one of the things that I can do better at. I don't know, that's not a real specific failure because I can't really think of one specific one, but I think I fail forward all the time. I'm always looking at, okay, I could have done better here, I could have done better there. I think it's just part of what we do.
I appreciate that about you. I've learned from you to be more vulnerable and open and reflective of things that don't go well the first time, so thank you for helping to teach me to be more vulnerable. I appreciate that. What do you think is going to be our biggest challenge facing us this year?
I think the unknown is the hardest part, as far as COVID and what's going to happen, and we all speculate, and I think a lot of times when you're functioning in fear, it makes it really hard. So how do we get beyond that, knowing that we're going to support each other, knowing that we're going to be safe, we're going to try to do the best we can for students, is what we have to keep at the forefront of our minds. But I do think that fear is going to be the biggest challenge, and the unknown of where we're going. I really don't think that education probably will ever look the same as we've known it. And so, but what is it going to look like? And I think that's going to be our biggest challenge.
For sure. How do you think we're going to overcome it?
I think by sticking together, by having conversations with each other, by talking, by keeping that trust there. Communication is huge. We know that we've learned that in the past, that we have to communicate. So that's how. I hope teachers and staff feel they have enough courageous conversations with us to let us know how they're feeling, and then we can listen to them and support them and keep that trust going so we can get through it together, which I do believe we can get through anything. I've seen it in the past, and we can do this. We just have to do it together.
I believe that too. Thank you for that. How about longer term? After this year, after COVID, things settle down, what do you think is the biggest challenge facing Arvada as we move forward longer term?
I think we have all, I've said this before, we have all the pieces of the recipes of making a cake. We have everything that we know that is the right work that we're doing right now at Arvada. So for me, it's staying the course, getting really good at it, failing forward again. We know that, you know, it's a learning experience, and it always will be. But if we support each other, we continue with our community agreements, we continue with building trust and relationships with each other, I think whatever that is, Jeremy, next year and the year after, we're going to be able to get through it. Because I really do not know what the unknown is, but I think the key is staying together and keeping that culture a safe place.
Absolutely. Do you have any advice for somebody that might be thinking into going into school leadership? Any of the listeners out there that might be thinking like, hey, I might want to try my hand at becoming an administrator at some point. What advice would you give to somebody that's thinking of that or starting off on the leadership path?
Ooh, that's a tough question. I think part of what I've always said is I lead from the middle, meaning try to create other leaders in your building. Try to give them that support with Senate, with assistant principals, with students being leaders. I think a principal for sure could not be the complete, you know, everything of the school. This is not my school. Arvada is not my school. It's all of our schools. And I hear some principals sometimes say, well, at my school and my teachers, they're not, they're everybody. It's our teachers, it's our staff, it's our school. And if to be successful, I believe you get all those voices heard and part of whatever it is that we're doing. Really trying to understand where people are coming from, students, staff, community, other principals, but leading from the middle, I think is the best work. So as an assistant principal, if you ever want to become a principal, having that big picture of everything that's going on, but making sure you're pulling from every direction for that support, because it definitely isn't your school. It's everybody's that is in that building.
Any final messages for our listeners or staff, people out there?
Well, I'm assuming it's for Arvada, so I love you guys. We can do this. We can get through this as long as we can stick together. So let's please communicate with each other.
Gina, thank you so much for your time here. I really appreciate you, and I appreciate the opportunity to sit down and pick your brain. I know that there's going to be a lot of people out there who are listening who are also going to really appreciate hearing from you and about the inspiring messages that you are, you know, you've answered and given here today. So I appreciate you.
Okay, I'm going to end with, remember when I started this, I had a teacher that believed in me. I didn't believe in myself. We have a lot of our students that don't believe in themselves. Be the teacher that believes in a student and gets them to be able to do whatever they want to do. Thanks, Jeremy.
Thanks again for tuning into this episode. I feel extremely fortunate to have the opportunity to work with Gina. It's a rare thing to find a school leader who knows how to prioritize so many of the right things and to be so student-centered. I've been inspired by our conversation, and I hope you have been as well. Until next time, this has been Jeremy Jensen with Arvada High School Community Interviews. If you have a better title, I am still looking.